All right, welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk, your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks, joined, as always, by Bridget. But this time, we got a very special guest, one of the best defender player, if not the best defender player, and maybe best support player, too. We'll talk about that later. Two-time world champion, three-time hopeful, potentially, as well as the three-peat IC winner, Slashcan, joining the show. My friend, how have you been?
Good. Also, back-to-back NEIC winner.
Okay, perfect. Well. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Yes. How could I forget the Team G accreditation? This is crazy. Perfect. Yes, your trophy haul is looking immense. I also shout out to your teammate Overlord just for 1 second for me absolutely stealing his Twitter photo for the thumbnail of our last YouTube video, by the way. When he posted the trophy photo, I was like, that'll make a good thumbnail. He'll probably be fine with it. And I just used it. So thank you to him. Next Twitter photo I'll steal from you for this for this thumbnail. I'm on my burglar arc. But awesome. Thank you so much for joining the show, my friend. Before we get into the interview, we're going to be talking with you about a whole lot of stuff. Next year, this year, your career in not only Pokemon Unite, but content, all that kind of stuff. But Bridget, gotta check with you too. How have you been this last week?
Pretty good. Just been enjoying the patch. Cool. Nothing too exciting.
Good. Yeah, it's been a fun patch. More on that later. For everybody, if you're listening to this, don't worry. We're going to be talking about the Full Force Burst Part 2, which I think ranks kind of medium on the names that they've been giving the patches. I think Full Force Burst is just middling, but it's fine. But we'll talk about that after this interview with Slash. We'll go through the patch notes. Not a huge one, so we'll talk about some of those. But Slash, first, we gotta, I think, start this interview off with a huge congratulations, not only defending your NEIC title, like you just mentioned, but also getting the three-peat, the first players in Pokemon history to win all three international championships in a single season. Fortunately, Gabriel Fernandez later that day also achieved that same thing, but you were the first, okay?
Yep,
if Unite being at 9 a.m. Grand Finals was good for something, apparently it's good for record making.
I'll take it.
So obviously, huge congratulations from us on the podcast. It was a whole lot of fun. I think, Bridget, did you predict LG to win this tournament? I think you did.
You know, I would love to say I did.
Okay,
in this moment. I could lie. I should have lied. I'm pretty sure Doofsack said LG.
All right. Well, Doofsack had you guys back. It was good. I also think I kind of did too. I don't remember. But I think I wanted to. Either way, big W. Slash, obviously going into the season, I know your guys' mentality was literally to win everything. Like, that was the whole jam. You're getting the band back together. You had an amazing tournament at ACL, not the championship win, but still, I mean, I have to imagine three IC victories has got to be a huge credit to your team. Is that the general sentiment on the squad, or is it still a big mentality of jobs not done going into Worlds?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, a fun fact, first of all, was I think three people on the team were going to retire before the season.
Okay.
Before we formed the team. So me, Otter, and Trainer were planning to just retire and not play this season.
Gotcha.
But then Kyrgios was trying to get everyone to be like, come on, run it back.
One last ride.
Yeah. even Overlord might not have played as well, I think, actually. So credit to Kyrgios there.
Yeah.
At the start of the season. But yeah, definitely a big mentality of jobs not done. We've still been hard grinding. I think you'll see a lot of the team just hard grinding ladder these days still, like right after NEIC.
Cool.
Nice. I wanted to talk a bit more about NAIC because obviously you have taken up the tank role this year, but you weren't really playing any tanks from my perspective. Really a lot of Mr. Mime and actually Hoopa pretty often. Mm-hmm. Do you just not think the tanks right now are as good as the supports other than, I would say, Snorlax? Or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I personally view Mr. Mime and Wigglytuff as tanks. I think their kits are very much just tanks. So I know, like, the game classifies them as a support role, but when I talk about them, I just classify them as tanks. They do stuns, they're tanky, you know. But yeah, I do play like Hoopa, Psyduck, Even Clefable, I was playing in scrims. I don't know if I got to show it off in the tournament.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Snorlax is a league about the rest of the tanks. And I actually had a conversation with Zugrug in the middle of the tournament at NEIC. And we both were talking about like Snorlax and then the rest of the tanks. And he's like, yeah, I think you should just play whatever you think is good or whatever you like after Snorlax. It doesn't really matter. They're all around the same. Okay. But then the other supports like Hoopa and Psyduck are obviously extremely broken. Mm-hmm. I think though, like the comp has to really be able to enable them to be played because tank is really important having a frontline. Yep. So you'll see a lot of our tanks incorporate like tanky all-rounder Pokemon to kind of frontline in that stead.
Okay. I got a couple of Pokemon selections because you talked about a couple that I think are interesting given current context. So you talked to Zugrug, infamously maybe the biggest Lapras believer in North America, maybe the world. What are your thoughts on Lapras right now? Because I have to admit, we have not been super high on the pick on this podcast.
Yeah, I think at the highest level, it could be really good in the certain meta Pokemon, specifically Inteleon.
Right.
But I think none of the Lapras tank players have shown in the past few months that they're playing at the highest level on Lapras.
Okay.
I think there can be a lot to be achieved with like the ult still, mainly the ult, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like the ult requires a lot of team coordination. I feel like teams weren't really there when playing Lapras. And so because of that, I'm kind of a big Lapras hater. I even told my team, like, I don't think we're good enough to play with Lapras too.
Okay.
I'll just play like Mime and stun them and we'll win.
Yeah.
So hey. That was my assessment.
Hey. It was a winning one, so well done. The second Pokemon you mentioned in your first answer, Clefable. You said you were playing it a lot. You felt pretty good on it. Japan loves that Pokemon. Most banned Pokemon at PJCS.
Yeah, I saw that.
Insane win rate. Like, tremendous. Suicune apparently doesn't exist in that region. That's a whole nother conversation. But please talk to me about Clefable and why aren't we seeing it more for some of these Western teams? What do you like about it and why didn't LG play it more?
Yeah, I think Clefable is specifically really good into Pokemon that run out of damage. So I think you'll see it a lot at Worlds if Rapidash continues to be meta. Because Clefable is probably one of the best picks into Rapidash, since Rapidash kind of will run out of damage into the Clefable late game.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's also the best pick into Inteleon as well. And I think that's like a whole nother topic kind of, but I can explain it a little. Yeah. Inteleon's like the best early game bot lane pick. In my opinion, if you win bot lane, you'll kind of win the whole early game. You can kind of take over the game from there.
Mm-hmm.
So Inteleon is like uncontestably the best attacker spot for the early game. Especially with the cheese clear, you guys might have seen that. That's what we call it.
Uh-huh.
Where you do the first APOM and you run straight to lane. It's actually uncounterable and really annoying in pro play. And probably one of the biggest reasons Intel started to like take over the early game phase. But Clef being able to like counter like really strong meta Pokemon that kind of run out of damage, I think is really good. But also in Japan, they love team fighting. You know, like when we scrimmed, there were so many scrims we'd lose where we weren't grouped as five at Ray, and they hit like a huge, like really good engage on us 5v4.
Hmm.
And Clef is really good into like those kind of team dynamics.
Oh,
and
yeah.
That's what Japan really excels at.
Yeah, if you get Death Ball, feels like Clef's looking pretty good.
Yeah, Japan has always played around the Clefable really well prior to the buff. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, I know a lot of people are like, well, if they just played Suicune, the Clefable might not be a problem. But I guess we will find out when you guys do get to Worlds, which now that we have all of the world spots filled out, we kind of know which teams from which regions will be heading there this year. Who do you feel like is the strongest region going into Worlds right now?
Mm-hmm.
I think that Japan actually looked a lot weaker than the rest of the season in their regionals, which was surprising to me. But actually, in our time at ACL, we learned that a lot of Japanese teams deal with a lot of internal team issues and even personal issues.
Okay.
So I feel like they're just like, they'll have like ups and downs.
Yeah.
So they could be in like super good form for Worlds, or they could be even worse. Nobody knows.
Interesting.
But I would say I'd give the edge to Japan. As to regions that could kind of contest that top spot, I'd say maybe NA can contest that top spot, but also APAC, I don't know which region it is, but the one that has Ice and Shindy, mm-hmm. I think could also contest that top spot. However, I think that might be like a one-man region, so maybe it's just between NA and Japan.
Okay, okay. Interesting. I'm down for that rivalry match. That'll be fun. both teams that got like an extra slot, I guess, if we're considering mm-hmm. that, right? Via the, well, I guess NA got two extra slots, but considering those qualification tournaments, but interesting. Okay, Slash, we had this question originally on the docket. You vetoed out of it, which I think is fair. Like, which teams do you want to play? You've answered that a lot before, but I'm curious in a little bit more of like a bigger picture question. You've been playing this game a long time, Slash, at this point. It's a lot with the players on your team. You've played against a lot of players. Is there any team or even player out there that you consider your, like, rivals? I mean, this is a very like Pokemon themed question, right? It fits well into the mainline games and all that stuff, but like, is it Orange Juicers because you guys have had some trouble with them regionally, but you've also beaten them a lot regionally? You know, before NEIC, maybe I'd say Peru, but your guys' track record against them is kind of crazy. There's Zeta Division as well from Japan, and maybe even Alter Ego after this ACL win. So I'm just curious, like, where's the LG rivalry? Where's the Slash rivalry? Or is it truly just us versus everybody?
I mean, if you asked me this, if I didn't know the teams qualified for Worlds, I would have said Fennel.
Okay.
And specifically TonGG.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have a lot to prove against TonGG.
Cool.
But unfortunately, a lot of bad stuff happened in this season. It happens. Right. Exactly kind of the stuff that happened to us last season. So it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But with the teams qualified for Worlds, I'd say it's probably High Five, which was originally Alter Ego.
Of course.
I think we want a revenge against them. We're friends with them, so it's a good old-fashioned rivalry.
Okay, that's good. And have you played, obviously you played when they were under Alter Ego. Bridget and I were talking about this before the podcast. Have you played that Ice roster in Worlds prior? Did you play them in London, like in against Orangutan or whatever they were?
I don't think we faced them in London, but we faced them in 2023 Worlds and absolutely steamrolled them 2-0.
Okay. okay, perfect.
So I forget
the record's even. The record's even.
Yeah. I forget if Shindy was specifically on that roster. I forget,
yeah,
but
I don't
know
think
Ice
so yet.
Was, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Okay.
And Shindy kind of is that core piece of the roster, so we do have to prove ourselves against them.
He's a builder on team. Okay, good. We're setting up rivalries. I like it.
Yeah, swings to his plot points.
Yeah, it's true.
But yeah, cool. We did want to talk a little bit about all the content you've been putting out. I feel like you've been pretty consistent with putting out content, but lately I've been more tapped in, I would say. And I was just kind of curious, like, what has been, like, inspiring you to make these YouTube videos specifically? Is it like other creators or like esports champs from like other games that make content? I was just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about this too much, but I'd say I almost feel like I owe it to my fans. I feel like I've had a lot of longtime supporters, and I feel kind of guilty if I'm not pumping out content for them. I do really enjoy it as well.
Good.
And I have so many like fans that have been so supportive, and I mean, that motivates me to make content, and I also feel a little guilty if I'm not. However, I am not historically the most consistent content creator. I try to be, but this season I was sick for a long time, so I took a break from content for a couple of months. But yeah, now I've been trying to get back on the daily grind.
Gotcha. That's really cool. And you announced recently you're doing like multi-streams now, right? You're doing YouTube, you're doing Twitch. How's that been? Are you like, is it kind of the same community on both platforms? Do you kind of have two different communities? What's it looking like for this whole multi-streaming angle you've been doing?
Yeah, so I mean, on Twitch, I'm already getting like a lot more viewers than I thought I would for not having streamed for a couple of years on it.
Yeah,
which is very surprising. And I'd say it is two very different communities. My YouTube community is a lot more casual, which is completely fine. I'm actually getting a lot of pro players on my stream.
Cool.
My first stream back, I actually had like Toon Slim in my chat, Bulby. That's an old name. A lot of people might not recognize, but he was on my team on Good Morning in season one. Oh, so that was interesting.
I love season one names. If anyone's a fan of the Overdog podcast, they know me. I always get way too nostalgic. I'm like, oh, Good Morning.
Yeah.
Stray Dogs, White Flag. Give me all of these old, like, of course, TTV, the whole crew. I love the good old days, you know, but continue.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of pros like roam the Twitch streams more than YouTube. So I've been seeing like literally like so many pros in my Twitch stream that I was never interacting with before on my YouTube stream. So that's been actually pretty fun. Cool. Talking with more of the competitive community while I stream.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I have been in the YouTube comments for sure, but I'm not much of a YouTube stream viewer. So I appreciate the Twitch streams. So that's awesome. But yeah, I'm trying to think. So I don't know if it was your latest video at this point, but just kind of talk. I feel like there's been a lot of buzz, especially with the anniversary coming up, just like the future of the game state. I watched your video kind of like talking about where we have been and kind of what it means for the rest of the year. But like, as you guys like look toward the future, where do you think like Unite is going to be at like realistically by like the end of this year? Or what do you think could feasibly happen, you think, in the next like...
Yeah. So I'm going to have a bit of a weird take, and I'm going to use a very recent example on this. But I think even if Unite makes all the improvements it needs to, it's not necessarily going to boost the player base and like the how popular it is. What needs to happen is like they still need to improve the game, but they need to keep it improved and keep it fun for a while, and eventually some of the bigger content creators might start making content on it again, and that's how you'll see a big popularity increase. I don't really see that happening by the end of 2025, maybe in like the middle of 2026. But so the recent example I'm going to use for this is Clash Royale. It had a lot of really bad changes, so it's been down in popularity the last couple years. But recently, a really famous streamer, Jinxie, started making content on Clash Royale, and it completely revived the game. There's so many of my friends, I didn't even know about Jinxie before, but I watched his content, it was hilarious. And some of my friends got back into Clash Royale, including my team. They saw me playing it. Overlord has started playing it again, and we were actually playing it at NAIC more than Brawl Stars. We did some 2v2 battles. You know, Overlord was raging at Kyrios more than he did in the tournament. Okay. So,
you need an outlet. You need an outlet. That's good.
Yeah. But, you know, like, there's so many big Pokemon content creators, so I do think it's possible, because, you know, like, Wolfie and some of these other, like, big-name Pokemon content creators, as soon as Unite's actually, like, a better game, like, is doing a little better, like, I feel like there's so many people that would be willing to make that content about the game again.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm... Wow, now you got me all excited about it. I'm excited about the same thing. We can save it. Slash, I'm curious, like, what do you enjoy making content on when it comes to Unite? Is it everything under the umbrella? Do you enjoy more, like, that casual guides or just gameplay videos? Do you like more competitive-focused stuff? Do you like more video essay kind of thing? Where's your interest at when it comes to making content specifically around this game?
Yeah, I mean, my overall goal with my content is, number one, to entertain people, but number two, to kind of educate people so that it makes the game environment better and like your solo queue ladder. I have converted many of my followers to leftovers.
Whoa, Steel Agent Kyle in chat is losing his mind how excited he is. That's huge. Okay, awesome.
But yeah, so I mean, that's been the goal with my content from the start. And honestly, I think it was tough to find that balance, because I feel like we've actually lost a few tournaments from me giving away a little too many tips, because I was very open with all their strategies and stuff. And that's not... It takes being at like the highest level to be able to do that and still win. So this season, we've kept up our track record, kept winning. But I think you also saw I didn't post guides, didn't post much like thoughts into our gameplay and game plan experience. I will probably do that like maybe post worlds, but it's kind of like the fine line I've had to find. But I do really enjoy making guides. I'd say like the most fun content is actually tier lists. I enjoy just yapping about the game and about the game state and seeing
people love tier lists.
Yeah.
It's good.
Sweet.
It's a good format. Okay, before we have you leave, we did want to talk about your thoughts. I don't know how else to say it. We did want to talk about your thoughts.
That's a crazy way to say it.
I'm so mad at the interview.
You might as well say the door's right there. Yeah.
Well, not quite yet. We got a couple questions right in front of it. So.
Just want to prepare you for the imminent demise, but... We did want to ask you about next year's format, because we got some pretty interesting news about this new league format coming to certain regions in the West, but more to come there. But what are your thoughts on the West getting this ACL-like league structure?
I think it's really good if we see some Tier 1 orgs kind of entering the scene with that. And I do think that's like the goal with how ACL did it with a bunch of big orgs coming in.
Yeah.
It hasn't been announced if that's going to happen with the West. So if it does, that is amazing for the scene. Mm-hmm. However, if we don't see any more Tier 1 orgs in the West, I do think it's an overall kind of nerf to the format from last year. So, yeah, I think like let's hope that they got some orgs to be interested. That would be amazing for the scene. Would actually give players like job security. So that would elevate it from amateur to more pro play.
Yeah.
Because I do very much think Unite is an amateur esport right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of worried about kind of the 8-team system for the whole year. As you saw in like a lot of regions, like the top teams change a lot. Yeah. So there's going to be a lot of players that kind of don't get that chance to shine because of this. And I think that's fine if there's a goal for people to reach for of, you know, getting paid and having job security. But if that's not the case, then as a system without orgs being franchised, I don't know if it's that good.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. I think that's a pretty good perspective to have. It's you got to hold your judgment on it for a little bit until we see sort of the results of this. But yeah, I'm curious because Slash, I feel like I've talked to you about this at multiple events. Like you've kind of always been you've been a player that's been kind of critical of the system for top players, right? Like the current competitive structure and everything, it doesn't benefit you being the best. I mean, like in terms of prize money and everything, it pays out pretty deep into the tournament, things like that. It's not like they're holding a ton of cash for just the first place finish and everything like that. So do you think, like, is that the big positive of this turnaround, though, to a league structure, is that it just benefits top-level players a lot more? Like, is this doing what we've been kind of desiring to elevate it, maybe not to a full pro esport, but higher than the amateur esport it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I think, personally, a franchise system is the safest mm-hmm. way to do a system better, and there were a lot of holes in like the previous system, so this is definitely a step in the right direction.
Yeah,
but I actually think if you have like the perfect tournament structure league format for the whole year, I'd actually prefer a more like free to enter mm-hmm. System. But I think it requires like perfection and like no corruption. My cat just jumped on all my plushies.
Beautiful.
But yeah, sorry.
Oh, they're very welcome.
Yeah, that was good.
All right, yeah, but that's my take on it.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, I think I think our entire podcast, like Bridget and I and Dupe Snacks, are all kind of like this nervous excited about it next year. It's the Unite Championship Series has changed every single year, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse. This is by far the biggest round of changes that we're having. So it's we'll see. I don't know. It's going to be very different, very big, but I think I'm aligned with you, Slash. Big orgs joining is the whole point of this. So that kind of has to happen. I really hope it does. But I also hope there is a decent amount of open tournaments and availability to this relegation system they talked about to at least encourage teams to still play and players to still play the game competitively. Yeah. A lot of things.
I can add something I'd hope for with this change mm-hmm. is what I worry about is the behavior of the community has not been the best in the past couple of years, especially with pro players.
Okay.
Our team is guilty of that too. I would like to see more structure. So a lot of other games will have like kind of this content creator program, but also like pro player program, and like there'll be a lot of benefits to that, but they'll instill rules, you know, like no swearing, be on your best behavior, all these things. And that would be a great addition with this league format system, because I'd hate to see like a Tier 1 org enter and then their players just completely go wild and don't behave, and then they leave the scene. That would be the most sad thing.
Oh yeah, that would be devastating. I think you've said that. I think Spraggles has posted a similar thing on Twitter about that too. We talked about it a little bit in our last episode. We went over those notes. So I think that's important. Hey, players, watch yourself. You know, it's an interesting space to be in, because it's like Unite's always been under the Pokemon rules, but maybe a little tangential to it. It's been interesting. But I think as of recently, LG, you guys know, some of the Pokemon rules have been happening. So yeah, I think being your best behavior, but I think this could be a really cool opportunity. Okay, Slash, quick
round of rapid fire before you go.
Oh no.
Okay, you've won so much. Let's make it quick. You've won so many championship games. Which one was your favorite championship to ever win? Which tournament?
I think 2023 Japan.
Yeah, hard to beat.
Yeah, it's hard to beat. It's in Japan, so.
Fair enough. Okay, Pokemon you want added to Unite, just overall.
Wait, repeat that, sorry.
Any Pokemon that's not in Unite, which one do you want to be a playable Pokemon?
Zygarde. I have all the Zygarde plushies
okay.
right here.
Okay. Would you Defender Zygarde?
All four. It doesn't have to be Defender, you know, but that would be nice, just for sure.
That's so sick. I didn't know you were such a huge Zygarde fan. That's actually awesome.
I love that.
Okay, I'm assuming the question to your favorite place you've ever traveled to play Pokemon Unite is going to be Japan. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. Now, this is a weird one, and I don't know how into Pokemon as a whole you are, so if you can't answer it, that's fine. If you could travel to a in-world Pokemon location to play a Unite tournament, where would it be?
So just a land, right?
Yeah, any region. If you want to say a location, you can, but just a region to go play Unite in.
I think maybe China is actually maybe an unpopular opinion, but I think that'd be fun.
Oh, yeah.
There'd be big paychecks there, but also, you know, it's nice to be in China.
Great. Yeah, no, I think China would be sick. Actually, that'd be so fun. Okay, so real world location. Perfect. And then final question. You've teamed with a lot of people. If not saying for next year or locking anything in, but if you could team with any player from around the world next year, and it just kind of works, so no matter what, language barrier, be gone, doesn't matter. Who would you team with? One player.
I mean, my favorite teammate of all time would be Elo, but he absolutely hates the game, so more realistic question.
You don't have to say it that hard. Bring him back.
I actually brought him back for a week of scrims. He was going to be on Team G. And then he said, Slash, I tried to do this for you, but I don't have fun with the game at all.
Maybe he'll really like Latios or Latias. Just try one more time, at least for Dupesnax. The amount of events that Dupesnax brings up Elo, he's honestly tremendous. So yeah, if we can bring him back, that'd be sick.
A more realistic answer would be Zealot. Zealot was probably my favorite teammate that would actually play with me next year. So
okay, sick. Yeah. He's great. He's the only player that's ever sent me Garchomp tips. So shout out to Zealot. I'll take it. Okay, Bridget, any final questions before Slash has to leave?
No.
Perfect. Okay, Slash, before you go, though, your chance to sell out, shout out, anything you want to plug before we head on to the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to check out my YouTube, Twitch streams. I'm gonna upload like a tier list probably tomorrow, so if you want to check out my tier list, it's gonna be a solo queue tier list, which I haven't done in a while. If you want to see that, I think I smurfed it so far. I have it pretty much done already. But yeah, so check out my YouTube and Twitch if you want to see those. That's pretty much all I have to plug.
All right, at Slash Can basically wherever, I think, right? Cool. Okay, make sure to go follow everybody. Thank you so much for joining, Slash. Really fun interview. We'll talk to everybody soon. We'll be going to a Be Back Soon screen for everybody watching this on Twitch, but for the podcast land, you probably didn't even hear this. So we'll see you later. All right, everybody, we are back. Smim, I know you missed us. Sorry, we were coming back. We didn't promise it well, but we are back.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that was an awesome interview. If you're tuning into the middle of this video for some absolutely bonkers reason,
that would be crazy.
Because we don't even do timestamps, so we really would have no reason to do so. But if you are tuning back in randomly, please go back and check out the interview with Slash. It was really fun. We've done that with a few players now, all LG. As of recently, we've done a few episodes ago, we did Overlord, and then earlier on, we did Slash. So I think if you win an IC, we get one of your players on to do an interview. Them's the rules. We're making them up as we go, but that's where that's where we're at. But Bridget, we got a patch to talk about. Brand new patch hit the game. They may or may not have seen our El Cremi report card that Dupesnax absolutely had his opinion on. And
I know. I really was like, I hope he's not here. I can test on a curve. But.
Right, exactly. We can bump those numbers. Well, not the case. El Cremi has been, given the buff treatment. We'll get into it. Let's talk about Full Force Burst Part 2, or of course, their legal name, version 1.19.1.4 patch notes. Let's talk about it. We got a few changes. I honestly think, for the most part, really exciting, cool changes. Not a lot of them, though. Yeah, do you have any general thoughts before we even talk about the nitty-gritty here about this patch, Bridget?
Honestly, nothing too, like, to me, this patch is like, okay, like, cool, like, fine. Like, I feel like we literally said in the podcast, like, Alcremie is begging for a buff. Like, that was not super unexpected. Some of the other changes were a little like, okay, but now that I've had time to play the patch, I don't think anything was, like, too drastic, but maybe I just haven't played enough yet. So, to me, this was, like, okay, a little random, but overall, still fine, I think.
Cool. Yeah, that's kind of where I align to. However, maybe I'm a bit more positive. I think I liked basically all of the changes. Maybe the Alcremie tune-up was a little bit too much, but honestly, I think way less than people are making it out to be. I know the win rate's insane, but, okay, here is the thing about the win rate conversation and kind of the conversation that's developed about around Alcremie. Let's talk about it, because I think that's kind of been the main social media. You know what? I'm bringing it back to the camera for this.
Did you want to talk about the buff
yeah,
first?
I do. Let's talk about before. Let's talk about it here. Alcremie got a ton of changes. We'll get into the exact changes in a moment. It is now very strong. Alcremie before had one of the worst win rates, play rates at all the whole time. And the argument was, don't touch it. Players are just learning it, so it will get better over time. While I don't necessarily completely agree with that, I think the numbers were too low for that to actually be the case, but maybe there's some truth in there, then the same argument is not being sent the other way, which is my biggest frustration, because now Alcremie is really, really strong, its numbers are great, and people are coming out of the woodwork to be like, oh, I hate when they do this. Obviously, we didn't have enough time to learn the Pokemon, and now it's way overbuffed. I feel like the same line of logic needs to apply the other direction, because now Alcremie's actually getting played, and it's a new mon. People need to learn how to beat the new Pokemon. I think is a line of thought that just gets missed all the time. People are like, well, clearly this thing's just like Giga Broga. It's like, well, yeah, people also just like have not used to seeing Alcremie in their games and like knowing how to hit it. I guarantee 80% of the player base doesn't know to hit Alcremie in its cake form to stop the cake. Like,
period.
80%? I'm lowballing it. So, I think there is some learning that needs to come. Now, do I think there is truth in both of those sentiments that I just shared? Yes, I do. Like, I think there is, like, some portion of it. But I do think this Pokemon needed major buffs, and they did it. And I am on the positive end of the Alcremie changes. Kind of, in a major way. But, yeah, Bridget, what are your any response to my rant I just had on the mentality of balance patch changes for this Pokemon?
I think you're completely right.
Thank you so much. You can stay on the podcast.
Yes. loved the interview, but I did this. I would say that I agree with you. I was playing Alcremie a lot upon release, obviously, once I got my hands on it.
Yeah.
So I was only playing Decorate Gleam. I was like, I've heard the dollops are recover is not really it. Mm-hmm. So I'm having fun with this. To me, it's basically Trick Hoopa with like a healing ult, which it was kind of a fun kit, because it's like, even if I don't go the healing move, I get the healing ult. So
yeah.
You don't even really, I don't know. And you get it enough. Like, its ult cooldown timer is pretty nice. Like, it's actually.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a good balance. Even if you didn't pick the healing moveset. Mm-hmm. And I would still say the same about Gleam. I just feel like it literally just feels like Trick Hoopa to me. Which I don't feel like is like groundbreaking. And I feel like Hoopa's ult is a gajillion times better. So.
Yeah.
I feel like they made recover viable. I feel like before it wasn't even worth it. It's still kind of like awkward to aim, at least for me. It's kind of almost like a pollen puff, which is nice, but it auto targets your teammates. But I don't know. I don't know if you've played much recover.
It'll be easier on mobile. I promise you. Any movement aiming option like that is always easier on mobile, in my opinion. Like,
yeah,
I compare it to, like, Chandelure's, like, Overheat is, like, a similar aim pattern, and it's 10 times easier on mobile, in my opinion, you know. I'm not a joystick believer anymore. I've left that life behind me. so.
We know.
Yeah,
but
I talk about it enough. Loud and clear. So, got it.
I would agree with you. I feel like most people don't know what it does or what it is. So, especially the alt, I have noticed I can kind of AFK in the cake form if no one hits me. But yeah, if someone does notice me, and a lot of that is positioning as well. Like, obviously, you don't want to be in the wrong spot when you go big cake mode. But again, I think, yeah, a lot of people are going to be way more aware of what Blissey does, even though I would say Blissey is better, I guess, than Alcremie. I think people are just having a harder time against Alcremie.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's new.
Yeah, there we go. It is because it's new. Listen, I think after a week or so, it'll still be good on win rates, you know? Like, I do think they did change a lot of the numbers, which, again, we'll talk about in the patch. So I think they did make this Pokemon very strong and a contender. I just think it'll be toned down a little bit. And, you know, I think we get another patch before Worlds, right? At least one, maybe two.
Yeah.
They'll likely tune it down. If they just tune down Decorate a little bit, it'll probably be fine. And, yeah, so we'll see. We will see. Let's get into the actual numbers, though, Bridget. We've teased it enough. I had to go back to camera to rant about discourse, but let's get into it.
It was a hot topic.
Let's just go top to bottom, shall we? First and foremost, oh yeah, shop updates, event updates, and bug fixes. Okay, speaking of bug fixes, by the way, this is the first time that I rushed to find the bug fix section in the patch notes because I wanted to see if the Galarian Rapidash bug was fixed because of it being banned from not only NAIC, but also PJCS. I was like, oh, is it gone? And then it was not listed. And I was like, the one time they don't list the bug fixes. But apparently it is fixed, so by the way. So,
oh, okay.
I have been playing a bunch of EXP share Galarian Rapidash. It is so fun. It might be one of the most fun Pokemon I've had with this patch, actually.
Wow.
It is a blast. Smart Strike Stun. I talked about it in our like breakdown of the tournament. It is crazy how long that stun lasts. And it's just a freaking blast. It's just a very fun Pokemon. They made a fun Pokemon. Unite tends to do that.
They did it.
All right. First change. I did play a bunch of this Pokemon as well. It is, of course, a ghost, my namesake. But Cerulege getting some changes. Bitter Blade, HP recovery effect now gets 40% attack is up to 50% of damage done. It gets recover. Bitter Blade Plus gets a bigger upgrade. It goes from 55% up to 70%. Bitter Blade Plus, very good plus move. Always has been, but very, very strong now. Unite move, you do get damage reduction while charging. So you do that kind of like little pause for a moment, and then you do the big dash. Now your damage reduction goes from 50% to 70%. That actually, I have noticed it. Like, I think Cerulege just does feel a little tankier, especially with the set. Mm-hmm. I've been having a lot of fun with this Pokemon. I think it just finally made me pick Bitter Blade again, which is really cool. Bitter Blade for a long while has been like the one move I didn't really think about. It was always, you know, Psycho Cut and the other move. But now I'm like, ooh, I actually might try to put Bitter Blade back into rotation. And I've been having a ton of fun. I think it's a cool change.
Yeah, I definitely think Saru was not unplayable. I feel like actually DreamMax was playing it quite a bit. Yeah. Final stretch, even getting it like target banned against them, but it wasn't being, I don't really remember being like a hero by any means. So I do feel like Sarah needed a little bit, and I was kind of worried that it was going to be too much, but honestly, it has like the Cerulege on my team still seem to be having a really hard time. So I don't think it's too broken.
Okay. Well, yeah, clearly Bridget and I don't duo queue together. I was having a good time with my Cerulege.
Work on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It also, Cerulege is one of those Pokemon that I really find fun in terms of item builds. Like, there's just so many I feel like you could realistically consider for Cerulege, where I think special attackers usually have more freedom in terms of item builds. But right now, I think it's just a lot of good items for a self-sustaining damage dealer. Garchomp, Cerulege, etc. So, cool stuff. All right, Duraludon, Dragon Pulse, going up by 8% in terms of damage. And the big change of this move, I think, the cooldown reduction upon getting a knockout with Dragon Pulse from 10% is now up to 30% cooldown on the move. So you'll probably be getting it, like, what is it, maybe a half a second faster if you get a knockout, which is pretty impressive. Of course, if you get multiple knockouts, you're doing even better. And now, the huge change of this kit, Revolving Ruin, now adds Unstoppable. If you're wondering why I'm calling it huge, Duraludon is infamous for being one of those Pokemon in game that just gets its Unite move canceled all the live long day.
It is just one of those Pokemon that had that terrible affliction, and now with this Unite move, is actually being able to put off decent Revolving Ruins. Is it a great Unite move? It's fine, but the fact that it doesn't get canceled now makes it infinitely better.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, Durma's ult cast time is so long. Like, he yells, and he's got to spin in the little circle. Yeah. The circle's so big. It's, like, so obvious. I mean, it's literally, like, a target exactly where he's standing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it takes way too long for him to do it all. So it makes sense why the squishiest guy is getting jumped the second he touches that button. I mean, it's basically the Cinderace treatment, right? But... Yeah. Definitely needed on the Dura. Honestly, just always impressed they remember Dura exists. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, for some reason popped up at NAIC not once but twice, and now we're getting
exactly
a little more love. All right, we love a version one buff before Worlds. We really do.
Exactly. So
huge. Also, Swim calling you out saying he yells. He does. That's the first step of his Unite move. Duraludon yells.
That's what he does. Yeah. That's what it looks like.
All right. Leafeon. And no, not nerfs. Buffs. Let's talk about it. Oh, this is interesting. But I'm actually not mad at this, by the way. We'll talk more. Solar Blade damage. It used to do very minimal damage if you had no startup time. Mostly because, or no charge up time. Because of how Solar Blade worked, obviously if your chlorophyll gauge was full, then it was like an immediate full burst of damage. But if it wasn't, you had to charge it. It was very counterintuitive for how the rest of the Leafeon kit plays. They've adjusted that slightly. So the first instance of damage, the first threshold that you charge to, they buffed it by 10%. But then it slides downwards, the 6% increase, 2% increase, and then a 0% increase. So a fully charged Solar Blade. So for good Leafeon players who are playing Solar Blade, that will most often be what you're getting hit by, is full chlorophyll gauge Solar Blades, is going to be unchanged. The only thing they change is kind of the startup, like just one tap damage with Solar Blade. It has now been increased by 10%. That is a change. I mean, it's such a small amount of damage at the start of that blade, so I'm not too worried about it, but we'll see. And Leaf Blade gets a tiny cooldown decrease from 9 seconds down to 8.5 seconds, and it charges your chlorophyll gauge faster, up by 20%. So, Leafeon getting a few changes to try to make the not mobile set more mobile, which... I have to admit, I know Leafeon doesn't need buffs. This Pokemon's already so strong. I don't hate this. I think these are good changes. The reason I think they're good is because they're fun changes. I will die on the hill of they should always make changes that make the game more fun rather than balance, but that's maybe not the right take or a take we're not ready for. So Leafeon, I like this change.
With what you said.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm going to speak some crazy things into existence. I'm going to make broken Dragapult Phantaforce back. Actually, you know what?
Wow.
Bring it back. Who cares?
That'd be fun. Say, you're just like you're just standing on it now.
Actually, you know what? Do it. So yeah, I think I'm a fan, but how are you feeling about these changes?
I agree. Definitely at first glance. That's why I feel like at first glance, you're like, they're buffing Saru and Leafeon. Like, oh my God. But really, it's... Especially having time to have played on this patch, at least a little bit. I am in Masters now. They're not just Ultra Lobbies, so I have real research. but I don't mind that they buffed kind of like the weaker moveset for sure. Mm-hmm. And there are other mons where it's like both their movesets are bad, so like why are we doing anything to that? But if we are going to buff the good guy, the Eevee that we love buffing... At least it's not for no reason. Like, it's more sensible, which makes it feel better. And really, like, playing against it, I haven't been, like, losing my mind. So, that's my gauge.
Good. Yeah. Hey, yeah. I think we tend to fall into the same position on this Leafeon change. But honestly, at the end of the day, you really think they were going to nerf Leafeon during an Eevee event in Pocket? Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah, okay. Idiot.
How could you? Okay, Alcremie. This is the big button change. You could look up the changes if you want to. I'm not reading all of these.
Yeah.
The biggest change, I think, personally, the stat changes and the passive changes are fantastic. Basically, Alcremie got bonuses to his HP, its defense, and its spadef all in the late game setting. So the stats definitely scaling a lot better on this Pokemon because it is a pretty weak early game Pokemon. So that does feel flavor correct. Charm, its passive, getting a damage increase throughout its levels. Sweet Scent got a buff. I think that move's actually very, very good now. Maybe one of the best. But, you know, it's trying to compete with Gleam, right? Is that right? No. It's trying to... Yes. I think it's trying to repeat with Gleam. I forget.
Sweet Scent?
Yeah.
It's you the early game move.
Wait, really? Oh, what's the, like...
Yeah.
What's the little ring it puts down on the ground?
I thought that was... Oh, Charm is early game move. Sorry.
Okay, and then Sweet Scent... Okay, yeah. No, we're... Okay, I think we're back on board here. Swim was saying that it competes with Gleam, but okay. And then Recover gets a recovery increase. Decorate gets an added effect, so now you both get shields, so it's even more like Shrikoopa, like you were just saying before, Bridget.
Literally.
I think my tinfoil hat theory of them nerfing Shrikoopa stays true.
I believed it. Ever since you said it, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's less me trying to convince people at this point. It's me just victory lapping. But anyway.
It is like an easier stun, obviously, than mm-hmm. Shadow Ball. But I fail to see how they're very different.
Yeah, exactly. Unite move getting kind of a host of changes. Bigger shield, more HP recovery. And you the passive that you get to move a little bit quicker after the ult. So also pretty fantastic. Okay. We talked about the theory behind these changes quite a bit before we even started getting into the nitty-gritty of the patch notes. Let's revisit Alcremie one more time here, Bridget. The numbers, the changes, how are we feeling?
Honestly, like, even looking at everything they've done up on our screen here, none of this really feels like, why would they ever do that? Alcremie is so squishy. The late game buffs in HP and even the added shield for Decorate definitely makes sense because really, if someone looks at you, you die. Oh my gosh, I was playing yesterday and you know, me and my friends are hitting the Regirock. There's no one around. We're like having a good time. I probably have like a third of my HP bar, if not more. I was like a little under half. A Regirock fell on my head. And I died. I couldn't believe it. I died.
That's crazy. Regirock is broken.
It is, dude, I was like, wow, I've been playing this mon a bit, and I did not think I was going to die to that rock. It was just a cruel reminder of how squishy this character is for me that I thought I could handle that, and I could not. So
You got Retsu'd. That's crazy.
I really did. I gagged. I could not believe in my eyes. I tried to save the clip. I'll see if I can find it or if I got it in time because couldn't believe it. There are a lot of downsides to this mon. I really think this just kind of put it on par with the other supports for the most part. And I don't even know if I would call it the best support necessarily, but I think it has more of a reason to be there. So okay. I don't think it's like uncounterable by any means, even when I've been playing against other Alcremies. I actually think all this is pretty reasonable. Maybe the ult was too much, but ultimately, I think if people... You see what I did?
I did.
Once people realize you hit the cake, I don't think it's going to be bad.
Once people learn the tech of hitting the cake, they'll truly know.
It's kind of like, can I hit it? Well, you don't know. You're in cake mode. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I guess that was kind of going to be my next question. Is clearly this thing is way stronger right now. Community sentiment is that it's so strong. The win rate it's doing is quite strong. I think if I was behind the balancing team, I would dial something back. You know, I wouldn't revert all these changes by any means. But if you had to be behind the balance wheel, and I know you love this Pokemon, so you likely wouldn't want to do any of these things. But if you had to roll something back, just revert something a little bit, what would it be? Would it be to Decorate, the Unite move? It's just overall stats. What would you change backwards, do you think?
Honestly, I would be interested to know like what like moves I was doing the best. If I had to take a guess, it's Gleam.
It's Decorate. It's Decorate Gleam. I think is like by far and away the best one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I think Gleam needs to maybe do less damage and be more of like a stun. You can probably shorten the stun.
Okay.
If I had to guess what they would do, but to me, I think Gleam is the most broken part of the kit.
Yeah. I agree. I think Gleam could be nerfed. I think Decorate could be nerfed too. We'll see. Who knows? Next patch, we might see Elcremie nerfs a little bit. Also, the pay to win accuser is absolutely in shambles. As soon as this Pokemon goes up for coins, they just giga buff it. So sorry, folks. Need to have a new argument. All right, Blissey. Blissey getting changes. This Pokemon getting nerfed. I think rightfully so. I think Blissey taking the cake. The best support in the game for quite some time now. The shield on safeguard getting a 10% decrease, and the cooldown going up from 9 to 10 seconds, which I think maybe the more impactful change is that cooldown increase on safeguard. One of the most fair nerfs I think we've ever seen. Blissey has been dominant for since Worlds in London, maybe? is that correct to say?
I mean, truly forever.
Yeah.
Like, this thing has really not been that bad ever since it's been released. I mean, your full heal is down to 10 second cooldown instead of 9. Like, also fitting into the propaganda of nerf all the other shield moves on the support.
Yes, exactly.
And we just let that. Decorate run free.
Empowered Elcremie, that's so funny. We like the suggestion from chat, by the way. Cynix posted, I would nerf Gleam stun in half, but make it additive. So if you get a full stun, if both Gleams hit. I kind of like that.
We're literally, it's Shadow Ball. We're playing Shadow Ball.
Okay, it is Shadow Ball Hoopa. All right, the more we cook, we just get closer to Shadow Ball Hoopa. All
right. Everything returns to Shadow Ball Hoopa.
Armourouge noticed by the developers after every pro team noticed this thing, and NAIC is Psyshock getting a 10% damage decrease. Love this change. I think it's like, well, in my old opinion, is the most unfun move on Armourouge. So maybe Flame Charge, actually. I'm kind of boring, too. But Armourouge, honestly, I think Armor Cannon, dope. Everything else, meh. But Armor Cannon, one of the most fun moves they've ever made. I said it before when this Pokemon released, the plus upgrade for that move might be the most fun plus upgrade of any Pokemon in the game, full stop. Like, all of a sudden, all your auto attacks are longer. You're like, I'm so strong. It's amazing.
I love, like, on release, oh my god, I loved playing Armor Cannon Plus. It was so awesome. It's been a while, but
been a minute.
Still think this guy is going to be extremely strong.
Yeah, I don't think this was enough to take it out of its, certainly not take it out of its role, right? It's both crowd control and anti-dive, I think is just really, really good. So I think Armor is not going anywhere, but a Psyshock damage decrease does make sense. And now you're just going to be playing a lot more for the stuns off Psyshock than you are the damage, which, that's a fine change, in my opinion. Just a slight tune down of Armor. Nothing crazy, but maybe if it was really popular, players will see that red arrow downwards and go, I'll try something else, which is the intended plan. They're like, hey, Charizard's getting a gacha skin. Maybe I'll try Charizard. I love fire types. And they, you know, it's like, anyway, pay to win gamers, back. We're so back. Okay.
Finally.
Blaziken, the last Pokemon adjusted in this patch. Fire Punch getting a damage decrease. And the Unite move Shield Amount getting, I guess, basically reverted, right?
Yeah!
Or at least certainly
Everyone
down.
Everyone cheered.
Yeah, that was a crazy change.
Hated it.
Blaziken was already so good. It skyrocketed Blaziken's value for sure. Not only do you get it at 8, which is very early for a power spike for an all-rounder, but also so strong. Made item builds on it fun. We're like Rocky Helmet, Eos Cookie, who cares? Just give this thing as much max HP as you can. It was tank Blaziken, very, very real thing. And then Fire Punch getting the damage decrease. Honestly, that feels pretty fair too. A lot of Blaziken moves, you're kind of shocked that you're like, that was way stronger than I expected it to be. Like, I'll randomly hit a Focus Blast, be like, whoa, that did a lot of damage, which probably shouldn't have, but okay. But anyway, I think good changes. I don't think the shield amount is totally reverted. Smim saying kind of the same thing in chat. So it's still better than it was, but it's certainly not as good as it was. When we're talking about 12%, 9% margins on a Pokemon, we're talking about max HP. That's a lot of shielding. Like, these Pokemon get, like, what, 6,000 max HP? I could pull up the DB on Blaziken, but
probably even more.
Yeah.
maybe not too much more, but yeah, I agree. That was my biggest annoyance, definitely, with the Blaziken buffs, was that shield from its ult, which it gets 24/7. Uh-huh. So he's just always oh my god, he was doing illegal activities in the Theoskai Ruins with that. So happy to see that gone. Honestly, that's really all I wanted. The damage nerf to the punch, even better.
Yeah, we'll see if it's enough. I do see a few people talking in chat about how it's 9% is still pretty good compared to 12. I do think it's a big decrease, but I don't know. Does Blaziken leave like almost ban priority level in tournament play with this change, do we think, Bridget?
I'm not sure, but my gut is saying yes. Okay. I think it still has more of a place than it did before. I feel like prior to the buffs, it was really, really struggling.
Yeah, it was.
Its Armor Rouge matchup, I guess, might be something to consider, but I feel like it probably does okay into it. So I think maybe draft defend it. It still has an amazing secure, which is something teams usually like to have on their side, especially in competitive. So
big important part of our game. Very big.
I feel like supports are the target bans at this point. Totally. But we'll see.
The tanks are bad. So it's like, who cares?
All the tanks are bad. Yeah, that's what I heard.
Ban supports. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, Hoopa tank. Who cares?
Why not?
Just do it. Awesome. All right. Well, that's the patch, and that's kind of the show, Bridget. I think we've kind of covered everything at the moment. We will be talking about kind of Worlds prep and stuff going forward pretty soon, because we're getting close to that date. Honestly, it's kind of exciting. Just over a month. I think it's mid August, right? We're right at the beginning of July as of recording this. So it's exciting. Certainly a pretty long, there's always this weird long gap between all the qualifier tournaments and Worlds. I think primarily the Asia tournaments have to have them so early, revisas and all that stuff. And then NAIC, just a good epic moment to kind of end the Western season as well. So timing wise, we have a lot of space, but that's okay. There's some cool community events in the meantime that are going to kind of be surrounding that. So one that we wanted to talk about and that you're actually going to be involved in, Bridget, is, well, why don't you announce the event? What are you going to be involved in here?
Yes, so Underdunk, the group of people running the bi-weekly tournament, it's typically hosted on Steel Agent Kyle's channel, but it varies, is going to be running this First Step Summer Series, which is a little bit confusing, but I will try to explain it to my understanding of what is happening. Essentially, it's a way for beginner, casual level players to get a chance to experience, like, basically like your first tournament organized event playing Unite type beat. So you don't have to have a team. I think you can like sign up with friends if you want, but basically you just get access to the server and you'll just get like put on a team each week.
Cool.
Or do they stay together the whole time? I don't even know.
Not too sure.
But
that's okay, though. Well,
lot of information. But yeah. There are mentors involved, so people who have played on pro teams each time there's a new team. Okay, I need to just go with my gut and just say
yeah,
what
you
I
knew.
Think it is.
You knew.
I know. Mm. Okay, and Bina's assigning teams based on skill level. So you don't have to have a team is the important part. You just like kind of sign up to do it. It is obviously going to be a big commitment. There's basically a different team each week, and then you'll get to play someone else in the cohort each week. And each week there is like, it looks like it's not as rigorous as I thought, but each week there's like open or like VCs to talk with like the mentors. Yep. I don't know. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kyle and Bina and co have put in a ton of work into this. And to my knowledge, the community's never had something like this, this organized. So it's going to be kind of a nice little safe space, as I would say, to get involved in Unite, because it can be pretty intimidating as someone who's tried to navigate that field before. This is like a really inclusive and easy way to get involved with something like this. Even if you just kind of want to see what it's all about, like, for fun, it should be a good time. So I've been tweeting about it a lot. Obviously, the Underdunk Twitter at Underdunk Unite has been hosting it. There's a Discord server. And I think you just react to something and to get all the updates. But yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool option. It's essentially like a Unite summer camp. But I do think it's really aptly named, right? This first step is an awesome idea. This is primarily going to be for people who have been kind of on the outside looking in towards competitive Pokemon Unite. You like playing the game. You want to take it an extra step, try to find a team to play with maybe, or even just get the chance to play in a tournament with some players. This is a really cool way to do it. And there's just a lot of steps to try to make you feel comfortable and ready for that experience. So, like Bridget, you said, you're going to work as a mentor. There's things like that. There's also a potential to be on broadcast in a tournament game, which is really exciting. So this is a cool program. And yeah, I wish them all the best. Underdunk does some really cool stuff. Cool to see them flexing to even a new series, which is really awesome.
Yeah, honestly, it's so sick. I really just messaged Bina like yesterday and I was like, can I help? And she's like, yeah, get in here. So sick. Sorry, my summary was maybe not the most robust, but it's really, really sick. There is like a lot going on with it. So I highly encourage anyone who's interested to hit them up.
Sweet. Yeah. I think that's a pretty good our sellout shout out to end the episode. Bridget, is there anything else that you'd wanted to shout out before we close up shop?
I think there is an Underdunk tournament on Thursday.
Ooh.
It's kind of starting a little bit later, and all games played after midnight, I think, are going to be like speed rounds.
Like,
so it should be
one,
pretty fun. Yeah. So threat level midnight, I believe. So if you are looking to play in just a tourney setting, that's happening on Thursday. I'm not casting. I just will probably be watching.
Sick. Maybe we'll play. Who knows? All yet to be discovered. But cool. Thank you everybody so much for joining the episode. If you have made it all the way here to the end and you're watching on YouTube, please let us know. Are we off base? Is El Crummy way too broken? Please. I'm sure you'd already let us know if you were upset about that. But if you want to, please comment below and let us know what players you want to see us interview. These have been really fun.
Ooh,
so if you have other players or just people in the Unite community that you want us to try to bring on the Overdunk podcast, let us know, because that'd be really fun to do. It's been awesome making this podcast and getting fun people to join. So let us know who you want to join. But yeah, I think that's basically it. We'll see you all next episode. Have a good rest of your week, Dunkheads, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.